Hello and welcome back to the Four Corners USA podcast. Been a little while since we've been on, but we're back, and I want to start today with the front page of today's Durango Herald with a six-column photo and a headline: DNSNG celebrates 40 years. The DNSNG, of course, is the Durango and Silverton narrow gauge. The name that Charlie Bradshaw gave the railroad when he bought it 40 years ago. It was a life-changing experience for the town of Durango, to be sure. When I got there in 1979, Durango was, yes, a popular spot, a quiet, kind of lazy spot, something that's always been attributed to Mark Twain, but it's one of those things that I've never actually proven. So if you know where the source is, let me know. But that Mark Twain said Durango is a long way from anywhere and glad of it. Yes, it's tucked in the corner, in the four corners there, and isolated for much of the year. Of course, Durango had Purgatory, but it's 25 miles north. It's obviously a winter destination for ski fans, and there were a lot of people in Durango at the time that's what they did. They were ski bums, and they hung out, a lot of them living off their trust funds, and skiing when they felt like it, working when they felt like it. I had quite a few friends. I can't imagine the frustrations of personnel people at Purgatory when you have a workforce that's kind of there one day and not the next. So it was quite a, I think, a symbolic move when Durango and Charlie Bradshaw embraced the train as a tourism opportunity. Nobody knew it was going to work, but it was, had the station, it had the history. People do love trains, willing to come from anywhere in the world to ride a historic train. And the thing I remember most, because I worked at the newspaper at the time, people obviously were interested, who's Charles Bradshaw? Who is this guy that's going to become a major figure in our town? And Bradshaw was not the most loquacious, publicity-seeking. He was a businessman from Florida at Citrus Groves. People said, what does he know about trains? But what I remember was that Charlie Bradshaw said, it's going to be a tourist train, but it's going to run like a regular train. It's going to be run like a railroad. It's going to be on time. We're going to do things the right way. We're going to do it in a historical fashion, and we're not going to, I don't remember exactly the words, but the sense was, we're not going to mess around as if this is not a serious business. Obviously, it was a serious business to tourism for Durango, and the train has anchored those downtown businesses for 40 years now, and obviously for Silverton. Although this year during the pandemic, Silverton and the train hasn't run for quite a while. Silverton did just fine, but without the DNSNG hauling people up there every day, a couple times a day, and Silverton being able to hold them captive for a couple hours, I'm not sure what Silverton would have done in the meantime. So it's pretty cool to see the old DNSNG celebrating its 40 years. It's a really good story. I want to give a plug to Jonathan Romeo on this story, because he's got old timers quoted in there. Amos Cordova, who I think was a very instrumental in getting that thing started and living up to the reputation of it's going to run like a railroad, is interviewed in the story. So I urge you to give that a read, and a little celebration for it. One of the mainstays. And again, it's, to me, symbolic of how a community can transform itself. It may take a long time. It's going to take risk and investment, obviously, but the Durango and Silverton narrow gauge is an example of how to do that and make it on the map to transform yourself from an old mining and trading center with a smelter smokestack on the edge of town and not much else going on for it down in that downtown, except the Strader Hotel, perhaps, and the General Palmer House, and thriving over the past four decades. Okay, be back with another story in just a minute. Next item is something I've seen in more than one newspaper around the Four Corners. And just to remind you, that's why I do this podcast, is to bring you up on local news around the Four Corners and mainly from the newspapers in the area. So to familiarize you with what's available in them, there's stuff in these newspapers that just can't be found anywhere else. For the most part, anyway, a lot of good local reports. How about this story that Representative Lauren Boebert has invited Interior Secretary Deb Haaland to the Grand Junction offices of the Bureau of Land Management? Might not seem like a big deal unless you're familiar with Representative Lauren Boebert and Interior Secretary Deb Haaland, because this is kind of like the Cowboys inviting the Indians to the OK Corral. I'll be interested to see what happens here. At maybe some verbal fireworks, but I kind of doubt it. Not from Haaland anyway. Lauren Boebert no doubt will try and make some hay off of it, because that's kind of her mode of operation, is to be bombastic and outrageous. But Haaland's mode of operation is just the opposite, to be quiet and reasonable and try to actually get things done. But anyway, as you know, that it's been a couple of years ago that Bureau of Land Management offices were moved to a new building in Grand Junction. The whole idea, as explained by Boebert, is that it makes more sense have the people who are running the vast acreage of BLM land in the West to be out west and close to the land. Does have a certain amount of logic to it, doesn't it? So I'm pretty much in favor of getting more bureaucrats out into the field. I'm not sure how well this accomplishes that, and I'm not sure that it's going to help BLM be more responsive, certainly in correlation with how Interior Secretary Haaland, who is, if you don't know her, was representative from New Mexico, representing Albuquerque, and is a Native American, a 35th generation resident of New Mexico. So I think her influence on BLM is going to be more profound than anything change in location is going to do. I've known people who worked for the BLM for 35 years or so, and some of them are, as in any big operation, there are some 70,000 BLM employees. There are people who are very conscientious and dedicated to their job and have high principles. There are other people who are just there to screw with you. And that's the sad truth of it. But anyway, so keep posted and we'll see what happens with this visit. I think it'll be interesting for, certainly for Four Corners residents, for the residents of these states and the West in general, to see how this plays out, whether there's anything significant to it, or if it's a little bit more showboating by Lauren Boebert. Okay, we'll keep track of that for you. Check back and keep checking your local newspapers. One more item before we look for a question for the Four Corners quiz, and that's some good news for the Northwest New Mexico, where I live, that San Juan County is now on turquoise level for COVID restrictions. That's opening up the businesses, the restaurants, outdoor events, that kind of things, recreational facilities, by quite a bit more than under the previous level. I did have to look New Mexico Department of Health's website to see which is better, green or turquoise. It's New Mexico, so obviously it's turquoise. Turquoise level is the lowest risk, excuse me, that they have. There is nothing that, no level that's low, or I mean no risk, but red is very high, yellow high, green is medium, turquoise is low. We're on turquoise right now. I hope we keep there. The residents here, I have to say, after 6 or 8 months ago, people were not wearing masks. People, maybe half the people were following the restrictions on social distancing and things like that, and there wasn't a lot of paying attention to it. I now see still occasionally some fool walking around with no mask on, but for the most part, I would say 9 out of 10 people in the stores and so on are doing a pretty good job, are wearing the mask and following the restrictions. And everywhere you go, the procedures to take your temperature and to check on do the COVID protocol are very good. And that's why we've gotten to the turquoise level. And that's going to help everybody. I hope it increases. Okay. Back in a minute with a Four Corners quiz question. Back with the Four Corners quiz. The last question we had was kind of an obscure one, but it came from an Action Line column in the Durango Herald about why there was a hula hoop around the figure in a pedestrian crossing sign there near Fort Lewis College. And people in the know will know, I guess, that those hula hoop stickers stuck on crossing signs come from the band String Cheese Incident. And the String Cheese Incident, Colorado band, is pretty popular in Durango as well, and so it wasn't too surprising. The earliest reference, I thought this was kind of interesting, that I found, was in a column from 2005, where somebody in, not even sure where this is. That's one of the things with the internet. Sometimes they don't tell you where they are. Might be Cooperstown, New York. But a fellow by the name of Thomas Slayton says he found out that a similar sticker that he had seen was from, and I quote, "Apparently they are a promotional item passed out by a band that calls itself the String Cheese Incident. Still, it's unclear where they come from, who places them over signs, and what the band is trying to convey." So, anyway, if you got that one right, I'm impressed. Now we're going to give you an easy one, which is, which of the Four Corners state does not have a San Juan County. Okay? Which one does not have a San Juan County? All right. Thanks for listening. Back next time. Any feedback, send me at barrynv@gmail.com. Thanks. Bye-bye.